97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
Amendment Radio in the great outdoors. If you feel like you're in Groundhog Day, the movie, that would be the theme music here, I believe. But
what a classic.
Made it past that. Did you hear that the groundhog saw its shadow, Bo Matthews, and we're expecting at least two more weeks of Taylor Swift?
Oh, and beyond. I don't think she, you know, her, the equity in her for the liberal side is definitely building.
Yes.
I don't think we're going to be done here in four. You know what? As a matter of fact, all the talk about Joe's not going to run. Maybe Taylor will run.
She's probably too young. Yeah. I don't know how old she is now, but anyway,
it's crazy. People are losing their minds.
Yeah, people are losing their minds. If you're a football fan, I mean, I don't mind Taylor Swift. I've grown up with my youngest daughter is a fan. She went to see her 1989 tour a few years ago when she was in town.
I was at that show.
Yeah.
It was fantastic.
It was a great show. And I think she's a very talented young lady.
I didn't see her at the Dome, but the show at Enterprise Center, the 1989 tour, amazing. These Dome shows, too big of a venue.
I would agree.
But it's also a well-produced show. If you saw the movie, you know.
I did not see the movie.
I did.
But
she flew. I didn't see the movie either, sadly. But I mean, she years ago went to Europe to watch or England to watch Wicked, and then like hired the entire wardrobe staff like for her show, for her tour.
Yeah.
And I mean, the woman has, I don't know, she puts it out.
She's got the resources to get it done.
And she can, she plays guitar and piano. She's a musician as well.
What I don't understand, though, is why would you want to split your audience in half? But I guess the younger generation doesn't care. If you're a Swiftie, you're a Swiftie. But, you know, that was the thing when I was on music radio. You know, you don't talk politics. You play the music for everybody.
Yeah.
But, man, she
inserted herself in the Tennessee Senate race back in 2018. So this is nothing new for her.
And her parents are conservatives.
Yeah. It's nothing new for her. I think her dad's in, like, I don't know. I don't know what business he's in, but... it doesn't matter.
He's famous for not agreeing with her.
I read the statistic that 18% of people said they might change their vote for whoever Taylor Swift endorsed, and 17% said they'd do just the opposite. That's a wash in my book. I'm not too worried about it. I don't think.
But the meme going around that says 95% of her songs are about how to pick the wrong men. Well, you could lean on that too. I'm sure you've seen that.
Yep. The next one will have something to do with the Chiefs. I'm afraid if that doesn't work out for sure.
But look how much time we just gave her now. Right now.
That's true.
By playing a Sonny and Cher song.
I know. Oh man. So this week, Bo Matthews, I have to tell you, I got invited, or at least was suggested to me by Brad Range, who's one of the producers here at 97.1. He works on the Annie Fry show. He said, hey, I'd love to go to the Range shooting with you sometime. Okay. Because we both share that interest, and we decided we'd meet out there on a Saturday, and one of the other producers, Leah, overheard us talking, and she goes, I've never fired a gun. And I'm like,
what?
Well, this would be the perfect opportunity, young lady. So she showed up this past weekend. We went and we had a fantastic time. And she was a natural. Took the scary black rifle out there, the Remington Mini 14 or whatever you call it, is what we also had. We were shooting, which is both a 223 round, right? And it took a couple handguns, and she did very well.
Did you get a shot of her on video in slow-mo, her shooting the big scary rifle?
I did, yeah. Which it just goes to further prove that it's not a big scary rifle. It's barely stronger than a .22 in a lot of cases. So, turns out,
hats off to you for doing that, for, you know, opening up and saying, hey, come along with us, no problem. Sure. And that's how anybody that goes to a shooting range or one of the great parks that we have in our state, you know what, bring somebody that's not familiar just to see if they like it. See, now, my aunt, she was in town in November. She had never even held a gun, never even seen, seen a real gun. well, I, you know, showed her a couple of things. I was like, would you like to shoot? And she's like, oh my gosh, you know. And so she would not be a candidate for that. But I get more and more, actually, I have to wonder, I guess I need to buy a new phone because my phone did not ring when you were going to the range. I'm just shocked.
Like I said, I kind of got invited and I was happy to go. I wanted
invited
I love
to a
to
place
go shoot.
You throw you in the briar patch.
What do you mean?
That's a place you would have gone anyway.
Oh, no. Yeah. I mean, I go to the range St. Louis West all the time. You hear me talking about it. It's out there near my house, and it's a great indoor range for people to go into and shoot and practice and all that stuff. But, you know, the important thing to me was, and I said this to Leah, it's for many people, it's a fear of the unknown. I don't know where you said it was your aunt who grew up in an area where she's never even seen a gun. Right. I said to Leah, I mean, I grew up with a gun, propped up behind the door, and you knew not to touch it or you were going to get the belt taken to your rear end. You were taught about guns. You were taught about how dangerous they were. You were taught to respect them. For people who've never experienced that before, that's the first step, is getting somebody to the range and introducing them and saying, this is an inanimate object. It does what you want it to do. It won't do anything if you don't pick it up. Here are the safety rules. And an hour later, she feels much more comfortable around guns and wants to go back to the range again and might consider taking a concealed carry class at some point. So I felt like I accomplished something.
Yeah, and I think you did. And, you know, if you look at it as a sport, if you're on the fence and you've never gone to a range or whatever, look at it as a sport that might be able to save your life. Now, you may go and train jiu-jitsu or some MMA type of thing as a sport, as a workout, but it could also help you in saving your own life or somebody else's. So that's the way I break into it with somebody that's never been.
You know, Bo, I want to bring up sport. This week, I went to Jefferson City. And I went down to cover the Missouri legislature and the Missouri Freedom Caucus, where they've been working on initiative petition reform. And a lot of that story, the headlines have been stolen by people who want to argue that it's only being done because, conservatives are afraid that abortion is going to get ensconced in the Missouri Constitution. Well, part of that's true. I think that it should be tougher than it is to amend the Missouri Constitution. I honestly believe that. And outside forces target Missouri because of how easy it is to get something added to the Constitution. We need to fix that. But importantly, here's my point. We also need to fix it because there are initiative petitions floating around out there that affect gun rights, where they would add the ability for individual cities around the state to adopt tighter gun laws than we have at the state level. Right now, there's a preemption where local municipalities can't have more strict gun laws than what the state law provides. And there are groups out there that would like to change that. So initiative petition reform is important, and it's important that the Missouri legislature deal with it early in this session, which is hopefully what the Freedom Caucus is going to force to happen, and that it gets to the governor's desk and that we get this thing on the ballot maybe in June, so the changes would take effect in time to protect this state from radical gun law changes and or abortion changes either in August or November.
They're coming in hot on it, too. And, you know, we just have to be vigilant in the state of Missouri anyway. Illinois, I don't know what you even say about Illinois, but it's a time that people need to pay attention, just like this being an election year. You've got to pay attention. You don't have to drown yourself in the information, but you do need to pay attention.
Very true.
And, hey. Yep. And honestly, I don't know why my phone didn't ring, because I would have rode shotgun down to Jeff City with you. But I'm getting a new phone. I'm buying a new phone right now.
You let me know what that number is when you get it, by the way. All right. Coming up on Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors, we've got a great show for you. There's some breaking Second Amendment news out of the state of California. We check in with Sam Paredes a little later from Gun Owners of America. And up next, if you, like Bo Matthews, are a fan of big bikes, big, beautiful motorcycles, do we have a show for you that's coming to the Moto Museum next weekend? We'll have all the details straight ahead.
I got you, babe.
on air guitar, it's Mark Cox. Bo Matthews on the air drums. This is Second Amendment Radio in the Great Outdoors. You're such a rocker by heart. You're so serious during the week.
I love it.
You get away from the microphone, dude, and you are just, if your hair was down to your butt, I wouldn't be surprised. Oh, boy.
I've always kept the hair high and tight for most of my my career there, Bo. But you're right. I could have done that at some point.
Bo, but he shaved. He shaved his face. He's clean cut again.
Oh, yeah. He looks 12 again.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Big fish.
That was the goal.
Big fish.
Yeah, thanks.
All right. Well, the weather, can we say the weather's breaking? I mean, we had that cold snap in January. At the time of this recording, it is going to be like 65. I don't know what the weekend's going to look like, but we have a lot of people with a motorcycle heart that gets out anytime it's over 40, some below 40. If you are a motorcycle fan, and my first motorcycle ride was with my dad on the gas tank of his Honda 450 in the Philippines. If you love motorcycles, I was 4 years old at the time, by the way, and I've been addicted ever since. Randy Knowles, Cycle Case Showcase, STL, takes over the Moto Museum February 10th and 11th next weekend. And we've got him on to talk about this event because it is truly artwork when you look at some of the stuff that they're going to be putting on display. You can see them going down the road. That's fine. But when you see the artwork that are these motorcycles, it's unbelievable. Randy, welcome to Second Amendment Radio on the Great Outdoors. How are you, sir?
I'm fantastic. Thanks for having me on.
When was your first motorcycle ride?
I was 7 or 8.
There you go.
My mother's boyfriend had a Triumph.
Oh.
And I remember flying down 4064 here in town with water just streaming out of my eyes. I could barely keep my eyes open, and we were going like a wild banshee, and it was amazing.
And that's how it began.
It definitely left a mark. I'd say it definitely left a mark.
Ain't that the truth? Well, tell me what you got going on next weekend for those, even if it's cold next weekend. Let's talk about what you're going to be showing off at the Cycle Showcase STL.
Sure. This is the 11th year I've done this, and it keeps growing bigger and bigger. I invite 50 bikes from all over the world. This is my first truly international show. I've had Canadian bikes before. This year I got bikes coming from Japan. I've got 50 bikes, rare bikes, historic bikes, vintage bikes, racing bikes, and a lot of custom stuff. And anything that the beauty and the design, that's a criteria. It's got to have some sort of wow factor or cool factor to it. And I include it in the show. I search all year trying to find these bikes. And I invite them in, and word's getting out. And this is truly a remarkable show for people anywhere that builds or restores bikes, anything like that. So yeah. I'm blessed.
What are you getting, Mark here, Randy? What are you getting attendance wise? I mean, you're going to a lot of work if you're getting people to crate up their bike and bring it in here from overseas somewhere.
Yeah, I'm getting the last 2 years we've been well over 2,000 people.
Wow,
over the course of a couple of days. I think what people are gravitating towards, however, is how I do it. I've spent my career in the music industry doing live production, sound and lighting. So I tell people, this is not Hooters parking lot. This is something special. This is I like Hooters a lot, but this is different. This is like a museum. Each bike sits on a platform. It sits on a riser, and there underneath each bike is a piece of white canvas that I have somebody ride on that describes what makes each one unique and what makes it special and why it was included in the show. And that way, you know, this isn't just for bikers. I say this is for families. This is for grandma and grandkids, anybody who just loves the art and the beauty of the motorcycle, the design. It's just a couple of rooms full of all eye candy. And I get that response a lot from people that say, you know, I brought my I brought my kids down here and they're playing video games and they didn't look at their tablet once. They were, their eyes were wide open and we really inspired them. So that's the really cool part for me.
Randy Nold, Cycles Showcase STLs next weekend at the Moto Museum, February 10th and 11th. Is this a judged show? Will there be awards handed out or is this just a show and just come on out, bring the family?
This is just an art gallery. There's no awards. There's no prizes. If you were selected for the show, that's the prize.
Right.
I've been searching all over the country, well, all over the world for bikes all year. And unfortunately, I had to turn a lot of people away. But I try to find the neatest, coolest stuff I can find and invite it all in. And it's just a celebration of the beauty and the art and the design of the motorcycle.
Symbol of freedom. Symbol of freedom.
The Moto Museum is downtown, by the way, 3408 Locust Street. And you mentioned here, Randy, that you were super excited to host this there. Tell people why that is.
Well, I've done it over the years. I've done it in a number of different venues. I've done it at the pageant a few times. I've done it at a couple of empty warehouses. The last 2 years, I've done it at the City Foundry downtown. And I've always had my eye on the Moto Museum because it's such a great backdrop. And they already are celebrating the motorcycle there in that venue. It just wasn't quite big enough. And unfortunately for others, or fortunately for me, during COVID, the businesses adjacent to that shut down. So now since COVID, they've had a chance to expand the museum and get a larger footprint. And now the museum's actually large enough to host the show that I do. When I bring in 50 bikes, the museum is large enough to house that. So, I've had my eye on that building for a long time, and I'm just tickled pink to get in there this year and to be able to do the show in there.
Well, congratulations on getting that venue for it. As wonderful as the internet is, you guys, it's fantastic. But when you see a childhood hero like the Fonz, this is where I don't like the internet. There's a clip of him talking about, I was scared to death to ride on that motorcycle. As long as that show ran, he said he rode that motorcycle, I think he said 20 feet. And he was scared to death. Did you see this video that went out about a week ago?
I saw this clip, and I'm just like you. It broke my heart. I always wanted to think the Fonz rode off into the sunset every night, riding off from Al's Diner, with some girl on the back. And when he said that, and I think he even said that he wrecked the motorcycle after that 20 feet.
I wanted to cry. I wanted to cry. I was like, what? Well, we still got Evel Knievel. And, you look back at old, I just saw Kurt Russell in an old movie about Evel Knievel. And I had the motorcycle toy that you pulled the zip cord rode the motorcycle.
Yeah.
I love that thing.
I had that too.
But you know what? You see footage of what they did back in the day with Evel Knievel, and then you see what like Supercross does nowadays, the triple flips, release the motorcycle complete. It is just amazing where we've come from the Fonz falling off a 20-foot motorcycle ride to, triple flips, and it's just nuts, isn't it?
It's fantastic. I love it. I love it, and I celebrate it. Yes.
Yep. Me too. That's cool.
If you're not looking at the past and what we did, what Evel Knievel did, you don't know how far we come and how much we can achieve. So, that's been over that part of the show. I've got some absolutely wonderful restored bikes from the early teens. I think the earliest bike I've got in this show this year is a 1912 motorcycle.
That's
We can reminisce and love the history of it too, and see how far we've come and celebrate that.
What are we talking, Randy, value wise? I'm sure it covers a pretty wide margin. Are we talking hundreds of thousands of dollars in value for some of these bikes? Are they that much?
Well, I know that there's one in the Moto Museum right now that's well over $100,000. I've seen pictures of one of the bikes coming out of New York and I can't imagine that. I don't know if he would even sell it, but if he would, I can't imagine it would be less than $100,000, based on what I'm seeing, like at Mecum Auctions and some of these other big auction house sites that,
wow,
that sell stuff. So, there is a Ducati motorcycle that we're going to unveil at the show, the Italian Ducati, and I know that it is one of 200 made, and to be able to even purchase one of these, you have to have had five or six Ducatis prior. Like, you have to be almost in the Ducati family to own one of these. So that's kind of like the Ferrari or the Lamborghini of the motorcycle world. So I wouldn't even venture to guess what that thing costs. It's got to be well over $100,000.
Man, you remember, it wasn't that long ago that OCC Choppers was a huge deal. And, you know, those guys, the Tuttle family, ran around the country and did, all kinds of things at Sturgis or whatever. Whatever happened to that type of artist that, does these kind of bikes? I mean, I guess you found them, but you remember the heyday of that? Those were $100,000 motorcycles.
Yes, they were. Some of that was a little TV fluff, we've come to learn. A lot of it was they were all, seemed like they were all built for companies, and they were write-offs, I guess. The Tuttles are still out there. They're still making bikes. They're a little more low-key now. They don't have the TV show. But what that show did do was it sparked a whole generation of new bike riders and builders and people that were really influenced by that. The Tuttles, the Jesse Jameses, and the Indian Larrys, and all of those TV characters that were on there, they inspired a whole new generation of bike people, and it's been great.
Well, if you're a big fan of that, you're going to want to show up to see this, the Cycle Showcase STL, taking over the Moto Museum Friday the 10th and 11th of February, and it's a two-day event, and it's going to be down there. I think it's, what, $12.50 to get in for adults? Is that right, Randy?
That is right. $12.50 for adults. If you're under 15, if you don't have a driver's license, you get in free with an adult. So
nice.
I encourage people to bring their kids. It's a family friendly event. If you come on Saturday, we'll put a wristband on you. You can come back Sunday for free.
Nice. Tickets are sold only at the door, but you can go to CycleShowcaseSTL.com or follow them on Facebook or Instagram to find out more details. Randy Knowles, honored to have you on here, my friend. Have fun this weekend.
I certainly appreciate it. Thank you so much, guys.
All right, real quick, and at this event all weekend, the Smooches for Pooches doggy kissing booth is back, so you'll be able to pucker up for the pups and help raise money for Dirk's Fund. It's a nonprofit large breed dog rescue facility out in Pacific, Missouri, so that will just be another reason you want to bring the kiddos out to this huge event, the Cycle Showcase STL. All right, we've got more of Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors coming up. Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors. We thank you so much for listening to this program. Share it with your friends and on your social media. You can get it on the Odyssey app. We thank you so much. for supporting the Second Amendment and, of course, the love of the great outdoors. This segment is brought to you by Razorback Armory. They have the most impressive in-stock silencer and suppressor selection in St. Louis. Stop in and see Jesse and Brad and get the process started. No matter what the caliber is, they've got the best selection of what they call cans at Razorback Armory. You can find out their address and everything at RazorbackArmory.com.
Yep, for all of you who love the Second Amendment, and just out last week introducing somebody new to the shooting sports, I'll have to tell you, for the first
time. That's very cool.
Absolutely.
That's very cool.
She enjoyed it, and she's a natural, so I love that, and I've encouraged her to go take a few more classes and get involved, for sure. I know somebody who's very involved, our guest right now, Sam Paredes. He is with Gun Owners of America. He's the California State Director, National Spokesman, member of the board, and great to have him here today. Sam, welcome in.
Hey, it's a pleasure to be here with you guys. It's really an honor to be on Second Amendment Radio. I mean, that is so cool. So thank you for having me.
Yeah, you bet. You know, I was I try to pay attention to what's going on around the country when new things pop up. I was reporting earlier this week on an effort in one state to try to put a background check even on buying ammunition. Is that something that they've either tried or been doing in California already in some cases?
We've had that here for several years now. We have a literal background check, and you have to pay a fee each and every to buy ammunition. But Judge Roger T. Benitez, we filed a lawsuit against this unconstitutional scheme requiring you to do a background check and pay fees to exercise a constitutional right. So the case went to now very famous Judge T. Benitez down in San Diego, and he ruled it to be completely unconstitutional and ripped the law off the books. He did an amazing job of pointing out that the state of California, the Governor Newsom and Attorney General Rob Bonta, we were able to ban guns and ammunition. And I'm quoting what it said: Negroes, mulattoes, slaves, and you know, others, Indians was the quote. Of course, we people of color and former slaves and Native Americans. Well, the judge just handed them a smackdown and ripped this law off the books. So right now in California, people are buying ammunition without background checks and without having to pay an extra fee. So yeah, we do it here in California, but not anymore.
Wow. Well, Sam Paredes is from Gun Owners of America, our guest on Second Amendment Radio on the Great Outdoors, and we appreciate you coming in and talking. You know, at any time you go online to buy ammo, in the state of Missouri anyway, you always do get that warning on those companies that sell through the internet and ship it out to you. We cannot send to California, so I guess that rule will change for those companies. Is that correct?
Yes, sir. As a matter of fact, the companies were contacting a lot of their clients and the customers in California and alerting them that, hey, the gates are now open. If you want to order now before, you know, the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals does anything to put a stay on Judge Benitez's permanent injunction. So right now, ammunition is flowing into California like waves are lapping on the Pacific coast and the moon is shining at night. It's a beautiful thing. It really is a wonderful thing, and freedom is wonderful.
It is. Sam, I know you live in a beautiful part of the country, but the politics out there would just drive me insane. We are, a super majority, Republican majority, pro-gun, pro-Second Amendment here in the state of Missouri, at least. Now, some of the people listening to us live in the People's Republic of Illinois, where they have an assault weapons ban in place. And you're kind of living in either Illinois or California, you're on the front edge of this battle to make sure overzealous gun haters don't infringe upon the rights of citizens, the Second Amendment rights. And it seems so obvious to me that that's what's happening in places like California with some of the gun laws they keep trying to pass, in New York, in Illinois. And yet here we are with what we're told is a 5-4 conservative a majority on the Supreme Court. And they have not stepped in and put a stay on a lot of these things. I know gun owners is working on that, but man, this is, it's frustrating to watch how slowly this is being rolled.
Yeah. Well, the fact of the matter, you're absolutely correct. What happens in California really affects or infects the rest of the country, and that's why it's so important for us to be here fighting in the belly of the beast. That's why we have primary lawsuits in Illinois and New York, New Jersey, and Maryland, all of these states, to fight for the Second Amendment. That's what we do, and we're going to do it anytime tyranny raises its ugly head. We are definitely going to be involved. The anti-gunners are all about control. They want to control citizens' guns. They know they have to control guns if they want to control us the way they want to control us. And yes, the Supreme Court has been somewhat frustrating in the way they have approached it, but they are predictable and they are consistent. They haven't accepted any of these emergency actions because the requests that have been made to them are not with regards to a case that has completed the merit stage of its argumentation and the next step is the Supreme Court. It's like they don't want to hijack a case, interject until the lower courts have screwed it up. Then they will come in to fix it up. But they have in two occasions, when we asked the Supreme Court for emergency relief, the court said, you know what? We're not going to step in on this case. This is the Antonyuk case in New York on assault weapons and sensitive places. He said, we're not going to step in. But Second Circuit Court of Appeals, if you don't take expeditious action on this matter and apply Bruin the way we told you to apply it, we may rethink our position on acting before the case is completed. And they, with a wink of an eye to Gun Owners of America, they said, and we will invite the plaintiffs in this case to revisit this issue with us. So what happened? 2 days after that, the Second Circuit Court of Appeals called our attorneys and said, when can we have the trial? When can we? And they did it, and then they screwed that up. So we are very close to being, the issues portion of the case in the Second Circuit is done at the three-judge panel. So now we're ready to go to the Supreme Court with a final ruling, and I think we will see some really wonderful action. But, yeah, it takes forever, and that's why people have to stay faithful. They have to continue to support the organizations that are fighting this case. Things are happening now faster than they've ever happened before, but that's at a snail's pace. You know, before it just didn't happen, issues in court. But since Heller and McDonald and Caetano, things have sped up quite a bit.
Yeah. Gun Owners of America, Sam Paredes is our guest on Second Amendment Radio on the Great Outdoors. You know, here in Missouri, anyway, we have very, very good gun laws. But like anything mm-hmm. can be changed. So you give them an inch and they're going to think they're the ruler. I was just looking up on Gifford's gun law scorecard. And Missourians, listen, California and New Jersey still require a 10-day waiting period for all gun purchases. That is true. Is that correct, Sam?
Yes, it is. Absolutely.
10 days. 10 days, which is... It's just amazing to me. But the top 10 strictest in the country, if you're thinking, ooh, we're going to pack up a U-Haul and go, the strictest gun law states, California, Illinois, New York, Connecticut, Hawaii, New Jersey, Maryland, and Massachusetts. So, if you're a supporter of the Second Amendment, it's tough to live in a state that it's so strict because you are fighting so hard to keep the gun laws that you have and try to loosen them up a little bit more.
Absolutely correct. And for those who are fighting in those states that you just mentioned, God bless you and thank you for doing that fight, because the best way to be effective is to be in the state.
Zach Second Amendment Radio and the great outdoors. We thank you so much for listening to this program. Share it with your friends and on your social media. You can get it on the Odyssey app. We thank you so much for supporting the Second Amendment and, of course, the love of the great outdoors. This segment is brought to you by Razorback Armory. They have the most impressive in-stock silencer and suppressor selection in St. Louis. Stop in and see Jesse and Brad and get the process started. No matter what the caliber is, they've got the best selection of what they call cans at Razorback Armory. You can find out their address and everything at RazorbackArmory.com.
Yep, for all of you who love the Second Amendment, and just out last week introducing somebody new to the shooting sports, I'll have to tell you, for the first
time. That's very cool.
Absolutely.
That's very cool.
She enjoyed it, and she's a natural, so I love that, and I've encouraged her to go take a few more classes and get involved, for sure. I know somebody who's very involved, our guest right now, Sam Paredes. He is with Gun Owners of America. He's the California State Director, national spokesman, member of the board, and great to have him here today. Sam, welcome in.
Hey, it's a pleasure to be here with you guys. It's really an honor to be on Second Amendment Radio. I mean, that is so cool. So thank you for having me.
Yeah, you bet. You know, I was I try to pay attention to what's going on around the country when new things pop up. I was reporting earlier this week on an effort in one state to try to put a background check even on buying ammunition. Is that something that they've either tried or been doing in California already in some cases?
We've had that here for several years now. We have a literal background check, and you have to pay a fee each and every to buy ammunition. But Judge Roger T. Benitez, we filed a lawsuit against this unconstitutional scheme requiring you to do a background check and pay fees to exercise a constitutional right. So the case went to now very famous Judge T. Benitez down in San Diego, and he ruled it to be completely unconstitutional and ripped the law off the books. He did an amazing job of pointing out that the state of California, the Governor Newsom and Attorney General Rob Bonta, we were able to ban guns and ammunition. And I'm quoting what it said: Negroes, mulattoes, slaves, and you know, others, Indians was the quote. Of course, we people of color and former slaves and Native Americans. Well, the judge just handed them a smackdown and ripped this law off the books. So right now in California, people are buying ammunition without background checks and without having to pay an extra fee. So yeah, we do it here in California, but not anymore.
Wow. Well, Sam Paredes is from Gun Owners of America, our guest on Second Amendment Radio on the Great Outdoors, and we appreciate you coming in and talking. You know, at any time you go online to buy ammo, in the state of Missouri anyway, you always do get that warning on those companies that sell through the internet and ship it out to you. We cannot send to California, so I guess that rule will change for those companies. Is that correct?
Yes, sir. As a matter of fact, the companies were contacting a lot of their clients and the customers in California and alerting them that, hey, the gates are now open. If you want to order now before, you know, the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals does anything to put a stay on Judge Benitez's permanent injunction. So right now, ammunition is flowing into California like waves are lapping on the Pacific coast and the moon is shining at night. It's a beautiful thing. It really is a wonderful thing, and freedom is wonderful.
It is. Sam, I know you live in a beautiful part of the country, but the politics out there would just drive me insane. We are, a super majority, Republican majority, pro-gun, pro-Second Amendment here in the state of Missouri, at least. Now, some of the people listening to us live in the People's Republic of Illinois, where they have an assault weapons ban in place. And you're kind of living in either Illinois or California, you're on the front edge of this battle to make sure overzealous gun haters don't infringe upon the rights of citizens, the Second Amendment rights. And it seems so obvious to me that that's what's happening in places like California with some of the gun laws they keep trying to pass, in New York, in Illinois. And yet here we are with what we're told is a 5-4 conservative a majority on the Supreme Court, and they have not stepped in and put a stay on a lot of these things. I know gun owners is working on that, but man, this is, it's frustrating to watch how slowly this is being rolled.
Yeah. Well, the fact that you're absolutely correct. What happens in California really affects or infects the rest of the country, and that's why it's so important for us to be here fighting in the belly of the beast. That's why we have primary lawsuits in Illinois and New York, New Jersey, and Maryland, all of these states, to fight for the Second Amendment. That's what we do, and we're going to do it anytime tyranny raises its ugly head. We are definitely going to be involved. The anti-gunners are all about control. They want to control citizens' guns. They know they have to control guns if they want to control the way they want to control us. And yes, the Supreme Court has been somewhat frustrating in the way they have approached it, but they are predictable and they are consistent. They haven't accepted any of these emergency actions because the requests that have been made to them are not with regards to a case that has completed the merit stage of its argumentation and the next step is the Supreme Court. It's like they don't want to hijack a case, interject until the lower courts have screwed it up. Then they will come in to fix it up. But they have in two occasions, when we asked the Supreme Court for emergency relief, the court said, you know what? We're not going to step in on this case. This is the Antonyuk case in New York on assault weapons and sensitive places. He said, we're not going to step in. But Second Circuit Court of Appeals, if you don't take expeditious action on this matter and apply Bruin the way we told you to apply it, we may rethink our position on acting before the case is completed. And they, with a wink of an eye to Gun Owners of America, they said, and we will invite the plaintiffs in this case to revisit this issue with us. So what happened? 2 days after that, the Second Circuit Court of Appeals called our attorneys and said, when can we have the trial? When can we? And they did it, and then they screwed that up. So we are very close to being, the issues portion of the case in the Second Circuit is done at the three-judge panel. So now we're ready to go to the Supreme Court with a final ruling, and I think we will see some really wonderful action. But, yeah, it takes forever, and that's why people have to stay faithful. They have to continue to support the organizations that are fighting this case. Things are happening now faster than they've ever happened before, but that's at a snail's pace. You know, before it just didn't happen, issues in court. But since Heller and McDonald and Caetano, things have sped up quite a bit.
Yeah. Gun Owners of America, Sam Paredes is our guest on Second Amendment Radio on the Great Outdoors. You know, here in Missouri, anyway, we have very, very good gun laws. But like anything mm-hmm. can be changed. So you give them an inch and they're going to think they're the ruler. I was just looking up on Gifford's gun law scorecard. And Missourians, listen, California and New Jersey still require a 10-day waiting period for all gun purchases. That is true. Is that correct, Sam?
Yes, it is. Absolutely.
10 days. 10 days, which is... It's just amazing to me. But the top 10 strictest in the country, if you're thinking, ooh, we're going to pack up a U-Haul and go, the strictest gun law states, California, Illinois, New York, Connecticut, Hawaii, New Jersey, Maryland, and Massachusetts. So, if you're a supporter of the Second Amendment, it's tough to live in a state that it's so strict because you are fighting so hard to keep the gun laws that you have and try to loosen them up a little bit more.
Absolutely correct. And for those who are fighting in those states that you just mentioned, God bless you and thank you for doing that fight, because the best way to be effective is to be in the state to fight them. I get to personally fight against Governor Gavin Hare Gel Newsom and his trusty companion, Attorney General Rob Bonta, following close behind, riding his mule. And the stupidity that they come up with gives us just great ammunition to go ahead and challenge him. And being a resident of the state of California, getting the challenge, Don Quixote and his trusty companion, with credibility. And so people in California have hope. This can't be all about fear. We have to share hope with people that we will win, and we know we're going to win in the end. The road to get there is the thing that we have to work together to maneuver and manage. But for those who say, oh, we're never going to win, the sky is falling, they're going to come take my guns, or the black helicopter is going to land in my backyard, and they're going to come in and steal my safe and all that. Cheap debt. Come on, folks. We know we're going to win. We've got the Supreme Court and the Constitution as our winning standard. We know it's already there. We've already got the victories. We just need to get there as we kick aside all of the naysayers and those who want to try to subvert the rule of law and the Constitution, the Second Amendment. So be encouraged, jump
Good.
In. Help. If you're in a great state like yours, help the people in Illinois and California and Hawaii to fight the fight. So that's what I want to encourage people to do.
We're trying here on Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors to do that for sure. Sam Peretta is our guest from Gun Owners of America, gunowners.org, great organization. If nothing else, I mean, I'd love you to go there and donate to what they're doing because they're fighting for us all across the country. If nothing else, sign up for the email alerts and they'll keep you up to date on what's going on, like this one that dropped into my email box this week. The Indiana House this week passed a firearm sale privacy bill because some of these credit card companies were trying to categorize sales from firearms company from a firearms retailer so that they could tell by looking at the code what kind of purchase that was. And the state of Indiana is saying no to that, and I hope more states across the country do the same thing.
You're absolutely correct, and it's not, to be honest and to be fair, it's not so much the credit card companies, it's the governments, especially the federal government, that has pretty much forced the credit card companies to establish one of these, the merchant category codes.
Yeah.
And it still doesn't make sense because if you go to a gun store and you buy a flashlight and a candy bar, you are still listed in the merchant category code as of someone who bought a firearm or ammunition.
Wow.
So, these guys are really reaching. And it's, if you look at the details, you realize how bonehead, brain dead they are in what it is that they're trying to do. But they're trying to nip at us everywhere, demonize us and give themselves a position to where they can try to injure us through the banking systems. So that's why it is a very bad thing. But it is not what the anti-gunners are trying to say. We want to know everybody who buys a gun with a credit card, and the credit card companies can tell us that. They can't.
Yeah. That's like flagging people that went to an Avon convention in Washington, D.C. on January 6th. Flag them. They were in the same zip code, for crying out loud. It's so crazy out there. Sam, we appreciate all the information. Keep up the good fight. And gunowners.org is the website if you want to make a donation or just get connected to what they're doing in the fight for our Second Amendment. Be well, Sam. Thank you so much for the help.
Thank you for the opportunity. I will pray that you're beacon of light on the Second Amendment in your radio station, your program, continues to grow and to reach people so that their ears, minds, and hearts will be open that fighting for liberty and fighting for truth is a good thing, and we invite you to join us.
Amen to that. All right, Sam. Thank you so much.
Well said, sir. And by the way, Bo, that we really were on the edge of some breaking news there, having him on here from the state of California, because it was just this week that that federal judge overturned that waiting period for ammunition.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Anything they can do insane. To try to infringe on your Second Amendment rights. That's what they're doing right now. Mm.
Yeah. But we are seeing some wins, though.
We are. That's it, I love it. And Gun Owners is right there at the front of it. That's going to do it for this week's edition of Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors.
Have a great rest of your weekend. Share the show. See you, boys.
Pew, pew.
Get more at 971talk.com.